All right, time now to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle, brought to us by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett & White, the professional builder's choice. Bruce, good morning.
Hey, Marty, how are you doing?
Very well today. And I don't know if you got to hear a little bit of Metal Lark Lemon, but I got to meet him in spring training, and an amazing man. And boy, he was right on the mark about Steph Curry.
Yeah. Well, I did hear that, and I remembered back. My dad took me to the L.A. Sports Arena to see the Globetrotters, probably around 1962. And I think back listening to him, and he sounds so alive and vibrant. I mean, this is, I saw him in his absolute prime, and I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the show they put on. You know, it was the Washington Generals and Red Clots, and it wasn't a lot of drama as to how it was going to come out. But the talent on display was, I mean, these guys are throwing in 40-foot hook shots, and they're throwing these crazy passes, and it all worked. I mean, it was beautifully choreographed. It really, it's something I'll never forget.
Yeah, 16,000 games he played with the Globetrotters. Yeah, that's a season. He had a season.
Yeah.
All right, the Giants are in Philadelphia, and I don't know. I'm talking about this ballpark this morning, and I just watched the game last night, and we've seen playoff games there, and heck, it's a beautiful park. But boy, you talk about a bandbox. This is a bandbox.
Yeah, I mean, you're watching on TV and you see somebody looks like he might have got a hold of one. Well, that's gone. don't even think about it. You know,
yeah.
I don't mind a few bandboxes being around the bigs and a few, giant parks. I think that makes it interesting. But if you're pitching there, it can be extremely aggravating, especially if you're a Giants pitcher who's used to balls getting tracked down, down in Triples Alley and everything else. But although I will say that the homers off Lincecum last night, off those two breaking balls, those were legit probably anywhere.
Yeah, and how about Maxwell's home run? It looked like Richie Allen at Connie Mack Stadium.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when he turns on one and hits it out, I mean, that's what I remember from him in Houston. You'd see these clips and you go, man, there's a great looking ball player. And, the whole package still needs some work, but he's been a godsend for them with the injuries they've had.
Yeah. If I'm the Phillies, I want that guy.
Absolutely.
Well, they had a couple of good players. I like the catcher. He looks like a catcher. He looks like Bo Lazinski. He looks a little bit like that. But, when you think about the Phillies, though, I mean, look, in the playoffs, they won a world title in that ballpark. And, you got Hamels, you got Cliff Lee, you had Halliday, you had Roy Oswalt. You had pitchers, but they made it happen in that park. I guess you can do it.
Well, yeah. Just like, the Red Sox, when they won their world titles after all those years, their pitchers got it done. It can be done, and it's especially impressive when you do it in a place like that. But, I mean, you're talking about Lee and Halliday, those guys, Hamels, what a staff. I mean, those are guys that will go down as the best, among the best in their generation.
And the Giants knocked him out. They just KO'd him.
Cody Ross.
They KO'd him.
The
Phillies didn't know what hit him. So it's kind of fun being there. So Lincecum goes back, they taunted him mercilessly the last time, he was there in the playoffs with the long hair, and they were whistling at him and all that. And he said, no one whistled at him. He said, it's probably because my hair is short. They didn't recognize me. He's funny. He's a funny guy, Lincecum.
Yeah, he is. And I think they've got to respect the guy who did all the things that he did, still around, still out there competing, and there's only so much you can harass a guy, especially when the look that they were harassing is gone. But kind of a spotty outing for him. I mean, I think it was the third inning. He's already 50-odd pitches. There's two guys on. He's 3-1 on Ashley, and everybody says, oh, my God, what's going to happen? And he strikes him out with just two tremendous split, change-ups, breaking down and away from the hitter and thinking, well, great. Then the next thing he hangs a curve and Franco takes him out. So it's just a little bit maddening, but he competed. He competed pretty well, and they pulled it out.
Yeah, as Mike Kruko said, it's in there. It's just a question of being consistent.
Because
you look at the lefties against him, they're still, I think, sub 200. I mean, and this is game 56. I mean, we are moving along. And this story of Giants baseball is starting to take shape. And that is that these guys are pitching, and help may be coming on the way, maybe not, but it looks like they're trying. But it's the infield and the youth. My goodness, this infield is very – Panic and Crawford are like getting better every day.
Yeah, I've heard some of the national guys talking about them. I mean, you could put them in the All-Star game and it'd be a good look. I don't think it's going to happen, but you could. I mean, Panic is just amazing, really. He's so good, and he's he didn't miss a beat. He hit over 300 in his rookie year, which was an astounding feat in itself. And now he's exactly the same guy, if not better. And he fits the team so well. I mean, to have a homegrown infield like that is just a real blessing.
Well, Kane pitches on Tuesday in Richmond. Now, they are back east, so it's convenient for him. Peavy does pitch tonight, as people have tweeted in. We weren't sure. He pitches tonight in Sacramento. Those are two names, Bruce. You know, we see baseball and say, all right, if they come back in July, well, all you got to do is pitch half a season, give us 100 innings. Maybe they could do it.
Yeah, they could. I mean, you have to be skeptical about both guys. It's certainly not as competitors. I mean, my God, those are two of the real hardline competitors we've seen in the National League in recent years. But if the arm or the back or whatever it is doesn't cooperate, it's going to be frustrating. But I think the timetable they put on them is real good. There have been a lot of patience. Thank goodness the rotation has held up, just enough to keep the team in it. The Dodgers are kind of floundering right now. They're not going anywhere. The race is definitely in the Giants' hands to take that lead again. So I think it's very gratifying that they've been real cautious with both of those guys, because another setback for either one of them could mean the season.
Yeah, and then there wouldn't be any depth. Now at least there's the illusion that perhaps perhaps. So we'll see. But as they ramp it up against better competition, then, of course, the arm takes a different toll. So we'll see where that goes. What did you take from the Pirates series here this week?
They just looked like the better team. They really did in most respects. And, they'll play again. It might not look that way. But in that particular series, you caught the Pirates at a time that they were coming on, McCutchen especially. I think I said he'd be hitting 300 before long. He's at 295 now. He was around 220 just a few weeks ago. He drives that club, and they got a bunch of guys that really get after it top to bottom. Good pitching. They totally believe in themselves. They believe they're going to catch the Cardinals. I think they're about six games out now, but that could happen, or they could get into that wild card spot. I was really impressed by them.
Yeah, they've won 12 of 14. My take on it was they didn't take a pitch off. They didn't take a play off. They came to put it to the Giants every possible play. There was no we're here, let's see what happens.
They were relentless. Yeah, they were really were.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I saw. Did you watch any of the Dodger game last night?
I did not, no.
All right, well, Adrian Gonzalez, this is a good game. At Brett Anderson, first of all, they have no bullpen, the Dodgers.
Right,
the bullpen's impossible. So
yeah.
Brett Anderson takes him into the eighth inning. I mean, this is unheard of, and it's a 1-1 game at that point. And there's a ground ball with one out to Gonzalez, and runner on third. He's at first base, and he sees he can't quite make the play at home. So he just holds on to the ball and forgets about the runner coming to first.
What?
And he gets the first. That would have been the second out. And then Matt Carpenter, and the next pitch, it's a sacrifice fly, gets the runner in from third. And they end up losing 2-1. And Gonzalez just shrugged his shoulders. He just forgot about the runner coming down the line.
Yeah, there's a few strange things going on with the Dodgers. I mean, there's a lot of good things. But, Puig is out. What's going to happen when he comes back? Jansen wasn't available the other night, and Mattingly wasn't able to say why. They couldn't figure out a story to tell the writers. He just kept saying he wasn't available, he wasn't available. That's not good enough. I mean, that would never happen with Bochy and Sabian. Then again, Ethier's coming on, and Peterson, and Uribe's gone, but they got Turner and Guerrero over there, and then they got Corey Seager in the minors, and they got Hector Oliveira coming up through the minors. So, I mean, there's a lot of things going on with that team, but they certainly aren't such a daunting, threat, I don't think, to where the Giants are terribly worried about that.
Now, in law, I remember if you wrote a brief, you used to cut and paste. You'd take something from another brief and cut it out and paste it into yours, and, you'd put it together. They're almost like a cut and paste kind of team. They take places from players from all different angles, and they put them in, expecting it to work.
We used to do that in the newspaper business. We'd cut pieces off the wire and get a pair of scissors out and paste the paragraphs together where they fit and send it through a tube out to the printers.
Very good. I like
that.
The Giants went to the White House on Thursday. Did you get? I probably saw some of it.
I've got it on tape. I want my wife to see it, so we're going to catch it probably tonight.
It was pretty exciting, I thought. I thought, it made them realize they're world champions, and there they are all dressed up, everyone in a great-looking suit, and everyone just looked really, really sharp. And I think it was good for them to go there. I think it was. Yeah. It's a good moment.
Yeah, there, you know, like you said, there's a great quote from Javier Lopez. He said he made us remember that we're a pretty good ball club.
Yeah.
They were kind of reeling at the time, and but yeah, that's it's you know what a great honor, you know. And they, I did see a couple of clips. You know, some of those guys look pretty comfortable. I mean, they're getting used to it.
Yeah, yeah, it was a good moment, and I mean, when you think about 3 and 5 years and being there again, it really was
yeah,
pretty good. Houston has decided to take out Taz Hill in center field. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, yeah. I, you know, just remembering Crosley Field and the hill they had on the left field, which I thought, you know, as a little kid, I thought that was very cool. You know, and I didn't have any great philosophical differences with that. And when Houston put theirs in, it seemed a little bit contrived. But, you know, I'm all for eccentricity in ballparks. And you go to a park and you get something you don't get anywhere else. You know, the left field line at Fenway, whatever it might be, Triples Alley. So it didn't offend me that much, but I guess the fact that it was a little contrived and guys were falling down and, you know, somebody could get hurt, and so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I frankly liked it.
I liked it,
you know, and they had the flagpole out there. It never really got in the way, and you had to play a little differently, and the ball rolled up the hill. You had to go get it, you know. So.
Yeah, the worst thing that happened in baseball ballparks was in the early 70s when all of a sudden they were all pretty much the same. So many of them, not all of them, but so many of them were football, baseball parks. They were all the same. And now they're building parks that have a little, you know, distinctive features, and that certainly was one of them. So, yeah.
The cookie cutter, cut and paste and cookie cutter ballparks. sounds like we're doing the post-game rap now with different words. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Casey McGee is back. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, you know, I hope he doesn't. I really hope he doesn't get back in there. I mean, there was a very definitive process there. Duffy was handed the job. McGee was given his walking papers. Basically, he could have walked. He could have left the organization, and now he's back. I mean, you know, he's a great guy, and they have a great relationship. It's not like Duffy is threatened and is all bummed out. You know, those two guys work really well together, but I don't want to see him in there for a while, not until Duffy bombs. Did Duffy earn that job, and he should have it?
Yeah, I'm with you. Really, maybe defensively, but McGee, even late in the game, I'm not sure it's an upgrade defensively. But
no.
They're gonna try to get something out of him. Look, they're paying him $4.8 million. They just don't eat it. You know, they want to try to get something out of the contract, so they're going to try to do it. But his one at bat last night, I mean, he had a couple of good swings, and then it was history. They just put him away. So,
yeah.
And we'll see what happens. Looking at what's ahead here, the Mets are coming up. You know, my take on it is beat up the teams you better win against.
Yeah.
And try to split against the good teams. And if they don't sweep this Philly series this weekend, there's something wrong.
Well, there is. I mean, Bumgarner should put that one away, and then they got the – I don't believe a whole lot of momentum, but when the Giants get going, they tend to string a few together. So they definitely should come out of Philly with a sweep. That team's reeling. That, you know, they don't know who's going where. That you look at Howard and Hamels, are, you know, they could be somewhere else by Tuesday, and they're very vulnerable. So it's time to get a sweep in that one for sure.
You know, you and I fooled around a couple of weeks ago of you know, who do you pick if you're starting a team, you know, Trout, Harper, and Stanton, and Posey, and, you know, this kind of stuff. All of a sudden, it's a national story. Every you know, they're drafting teams now, just like we did. And it looks like Trout, you know, this Brian Kenny yesterday was all over Trout saying, well, he's another Mickey Mantle. There are moments when you think so, but I haven't seen the power out of Trout yet, you know, the overall power.
No. I think yesterday or the day before was the anniversary of a Titanic home run that Mantle hit, I think at the old Comiskey, right-handed.
Okay.
And then he's got a left-handed home run at Yankee Stadium. He's got some of the all-time 500-foot-plus homers each way, you know, I mean. And no, you're right, the Mantle, that's a whole different thing. It's like comparing somebody to Mays. It's like, well, hold on a minute, you know. I mean, especially Mantle before his knees went out. There is something about Trout that does remind me of Mantle.
Mm-hmm.
Just the look about him, and he's a good center fielder, and he's a real good hitter, and he's a complete player. But still, I stop a little bit short.
Yeah, it's the power and speed across the outfield that I see are stealing a bag. But you know, he was pulling out the OPS and blah blah blah. You know, different numbers and. showing Trout's first 4 years like Mantle's first 4 years. So I don't know. Let me see the next 4 years, and then we'll talk about it. But
yeah.
All right. Hey, have a great afternoon. Now, are you predicting a Triple Crown winner?
A Triple Crown winner? Oh, I was going to say in the National League. No, yeah, I you know, it's a Belmont's a different deal. I'm not a big horse racing guy, but it's a much longer race and everything. But I think American Pharoah has been so good at the finish of these first two. I don't know. My very amateur opinion would say he finishes it off.
Yeah, it's funny. Listening to Michael Wilbon yesterday, he said, all right, let's say there is a Triple Crown winner. Then what? You can't put him on David Letterman. You can't go to the Ed Sullivan show. Jimmy Kimmel, where do you put him? I guess that's it. You just say congratulations.
Yeah, maybe you can get him in there with Mr. Ed and they can have a talk.
Very good, Bruce. That's very good. All right, we'll talk to you early tomorrow.
All right, you got it, Marty.
Have a good afternoon. All right, Bruce Jenkins. Pretty good. Put him in there with Mr. Ed. I like that. All right, more coming up in the Sports Leader.